I want to read again the scripture that we read yesterday, dealing with the subject of a disciple now. If you were here yesterday, we talked about the church's business, that she's to make converts, or to make disciples and not converts. You can convert a person to anything with a good argument. We're talking about life, the church, being a reproductive organism, that the church came out of life, and life always begets life. And the real test of whether we're the church or the people of God is, do we create conditions of life? Now, we talk about the marks of a disciple here in Mark chapter 8. We read in verse 34, Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple. In one place here, he said, let me just read this to you. Let's turn quickly to the Gospel of Mark. Then we're going to turn back here to the book of Ephesians. But in Mark chapter 8, I'll read this again to you. It's Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he sent him to deny himself, take up his cross. And this is the kind of people that the church is supposed to produce. Disciples. Now, we began yesterday that the first mark of a disciple is they are unselfish. There are no selfish Christians. Oh, I want to bear that home to you. There are no selfish Christians. If the grace of God is within you, then it produces that same self-given spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. The liberal soul shall be made fat, because the liberal soul is the one that's in tune with God. Now, there were many marks of selfishness that we dealt with. We're going to carry that situation further today in what we've called the unselfish disciple. But I want to say something to you concerning the thought of selfishness that I believe will be most important to you if you're dead serious about receiving anything from God. If you're here, you're sick, you've got loved ones that are lost. There's problems in your life. Last evening, as I took those cards coming across this platform, it was frightening. The little children coming across there, and on those cards, they had marked two things, fear and family problems. Little children, they were seeing problems in that family, mother and dad that got troubles. That created a fear in those children. God never intended that. He never intended that to be a part of the family unit. So much problems. But we want those things healed in our lives. Then our own lives have to be healed. Spiritually, we must come around to being what God wants us to be if we're going to see God work in our lives. Now, you're not going to live loose, haphazard, selfish lives and expect God to be unselfish with you. I said it yesterday, I want to say it again. If you want mercy, you're going to show mercy. If you want to have friends, you're going to show yourself friendly. If you want forgiveness, you are going to forgive. There in any other way. We have to sow the seeds that bring this. Now, I just want to bring out some very important thoughts. I believe on this subject of selfishness, before we get right down to pinpointing some of the things about it. Now, selfishness is the law of the jungle. In the tribulation time, that's going to be the beast that haunts men and women that miss the rapture. Is that awful beastial spirit. Selfishness and lawlessness are convertible terms. Ladies, that's a reason that you're not safe on the streets in this nation today. That you can't even go to a shopping center and be safe in broad open daylight a lot of times. Isn't that right? It's because of this awful spirit of selfishness. What a tragedy when such a spirit is in the church. You know and I know that the law of the jungle is the law of self-preservation. You let an animal give birth to a little one or a litter of little ones, and if they're hungry, they will eat their own. Now the Bible talks about in the church the biting and devouring of one another. Then we wonder why the Holy Ghost is not working in the church with such a spirit so prevalent in that church of selfishness that we're there to gain our own ends. You'd be surprised. I know in these day services there are hungry-hearted people that put aside all kinds of things. I know you ladies have left your house, work, go, till you get back, many of you in the afternoon, just to come and to be a part of this day service. Well, that speaks something wonderful about your attitude toward God, but you'd be surprised out of the several hundreds of people that were here last evening, those that came here only to get. They never came to give anything, and I mean they weren't interested in hearing the word of God. They came under this tent to get. They are parasites, mere consumers. They've come to receive and to leave nothing. That kind of a spirit has invaded the church, and the blessed Spirit of God has been grieved, so that no matter how much the man of God believes, how much power there is in his life, he cannot work beyond that, because that church with that kind of an attitude draws a line across the front of it that no man can cross to be saved or to be healed. You bear with me, because I'm talking to you about what it's going to take if we see God do under this tent what God wants to do. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Isaiah, children coming forth to the birth, and there wasn't enough strength for them children to be born. You ever read that in the book of Isaiah? He said, children came forth to the birth, and there wasn't enough strength in Zion to birth those children. They came into an altar, they sought God, but they left unsaved. They couldn't be born again because there wasn't enough strength to born them. Now you know and I know, before medical science learned about the cesarean birth, that is to operate when a woman couldn't have her baby, they take that baby. But before they knew that, when it came time for that baby to be born, if that mother couldn't give birth to that baby, then that mother and that baby both had to die. Isn't that right? Well, the same things happened to the church. It is so weakened by this spirit of taking and not giving that it does not have a strength to deliver the people that come for help. God help us to correct that. Selfishness and lawlessness are convertible terms, has no place in the church. Now listen, selfishness is that depraved human nature that is demonstrated through what the Bible calls the flesh, out to take a hold to whatever it can. Antichrist, when he arrives, will be the sum and total of what the Bible calls self. Are you listening to me? That is what you're going to run into in that tribulation. He, Antichrist, will be the sum and total of what the Bible calls self. Now, self is the essence of personality. I pray that God will help us to hear. There's enough of us under this tent this morning to change the whole course of things and loose this place where the man of God at night can do what God's called him to the city to do. You can't have a greater evangelist than the one that's on this platform at night. Yet as sure as there's a God in heaven, if we allow the thing I'm talking about this morning to run rampant as it does in the most part, it'll tie the hands of the man of God, it'll grieve the Holy Spirit, and for the most part, the people will not receive what God Almighty wants them to receive. Now, there are three elements in a human personality. Three elements: judgment, affection, and will. And every one of us that sat here this morning, in the human personality, there are those three elements: judgment, affection, and will. Now listen, the judgment of that fallen man cannot be relied upon. You know that. You put your trust in politicians, you've been betrayed by every one of them, just like the rest of us. Isn't that right? I don't care how noble they are with their promises. When the chips are down, they just like everybody else is living after the flesh. They come to receive for themselves. They're not interested. They make all kinds of promises. But the judgment, you see, of that awful nature cannot be relied upon, because it mistakes darkness for light and light for darkness. It is depraved. It can't. The affections are depraved. Instead of seeking the things that are above, it seeks the things that are below. And I can tell you that's in religion too. You listen to the theology of today and their prosperity message. Now I know, give, God do. But God isn't going to make every one of us under this tent a millionaire. And just because I don't drive a Rolls Royce don't mean that God don't love me. But if you listen to a lot of that nonsense out there, you'll believe that. Some of the greatest Christians I know, amen, many of them are widow women that live in off of Social Security. And some of the greatest saints I know, amen, don't even have a job. But they love God. And you can't judge things by what a person has. Jesus said a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of those things that he has, but it is a selfish, evil spirit that makes that. It makes poor folks believe that God doesn't love them if they believe that kind of nonsense. The emphasis is placed on the things below. But God says to the real saint, set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. I want to let you in on a secret this morning. You and I may never have a whole lot of this world's goods, but this world belongs to our Lord. And they're counting our money. They're sitting on our property. They're the squatters, not us. Thank God, just hang around a while. He's going to come, dispossess the devil and his crowd, and we're heirs and joint heirs with him that owns everything. If we set our affections on things above, seek God now, tomorrow we're going to own it all. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But you see, the emphasis even in religion, that affections of that carnal nature even in religion is here. It's all here. What God will give me now. I want a bigger house. I want a bigger car. I want this. I want that. I want that. It's never what God wants. So you can't rely on that selfish affections. Amen. The will has lost its regal power. It's strong where it ought to be weak. Weak where it ought to be strong. Self is a beast that'll haunt and terrorize the tribulation. The selfish man is alone, but he don't know it. I said he's alone, but he doesn't know it. Listen. What a horrible awakening it'll be for the self-centered man. In that day, his soul naked, unloved, unloving, with the universe around him, of hearts out of touch with his. He'll then have to come face to face with the awful solitude of a self that never died, and in that day has lost the ability to die. Said he'll seek death and can't die. God says you crucify yourself, but if you save yourself, sir, then you'll lose that life. I read it to you yesterday. Verse 35. If you save your life, you'll lose your life. But if you lose your life for Christ and the gospel, thank God you'll wind up with a life of his. Oh, hallelujah. But if we seek to save our life, the selfishness of this life, we're going to lose everything. But if you won't crucify self now, then you'll wake up one day in that awful world of hell with a self that refused to die and now can't die, and you got to put up with him for eternity. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. There is a better way. That disciple, we're talking about the unselfish disciple, but showing what selfishness is. We can be mistaken as to what this thing called selfishness is. Self is the nature of a damned race. It's a citadel of Satan. You believe that? Say hallelujah. Self is the nature of a damned race. God rejected it. Back there in the garden, they choose their way. He said, eat everything here but that one tree. They wanted that tree. Self wanted the one thing God didn't want him to have. And now self is the nature of a damned wraith. Self is a seat, habitation, and very life of sin. Self is. When the Bible talks about overcoming, he's not talking about you overcoming your pastor or your wife or your husband. Talking about overcoming one thing, S-E-L-F. That's the root of all sin. Wherever you go, that's where it's at. That beast is right there inside of you. The works of it, Paul said, is murder, fornication, adultery, emulation, strife, sorcery, that's drugs, witchcraft, all a work of that self-spirit. Every bit of it a work of that self-spirit. Amen. Wherever you go, that's there. Unless you put it down, if you don't crucify self, I can tell you, self will crucify Christ. Amen. You can mark it down. The works of the devil are wrought in self. Christ's life is not, cannot be within us, but so far as the spirit of world, self-love, self-seeking are renounced and driven out. Every temper and passion that keep Christ from being formed in the soul is a murderer and a destroyer of the Lord of life. Everything about us and that depraved nature must be brought into subjection. To be saved from the leprosy of sin, you, my dear friends, must be saved from self. When I knelt at that altar many years ago, asked God to come into my heart, asked Jesus to forgive me, he washed away every sin. He cleansed me from all sin. There was kneeling by me a little 7-year-old boy who never knew the depth of sin. I'm 27 years old and being delivered from hell itself. Amen. But when I got up from that altar and that 7-year-old boy got up from that altar, the blood that cleansed him cleansed me. And I'm as clean as that 7-year-old boy. All sin is gone. But I faced with another situation. You're a Christian archson. When you got up, sin has been forgiven, but self is still there. It's a lifetime of allowing that spiritual man to gain the control over that carnal man. It's a lifetime of crucifixion and bringing to naught. And I've been dealing with that ever since I've been saved. I'm a little further down the road than when I started, but yet you have to be on guard or that thing will pop out. Amen. That old man show up and he's ungodly. He's depraved. I said he's depraved, and it is out of him is the very essence of sin, the works of the devil. To be saved from sin is to be saved from self. Self, the old nature, is the root, the branches, the tree, the total source of all evil on this planet. Lawlessness is selfishness. That's the reason that man out there thinks he can snatch your purse. His selfishness makes him believe he has a right to that purse. He'll rape the women because he believes that he has that right. You see, selfishness is that awful beast. Amen. Sin and lawlessness are convertible times. Sins are the results of self rising up to the place of supreme power in that believer. Now listen, self rising up. Now I was reading this morning as I was studying to come here. I was reading in the book of Ephesians. God dealing with my heart. Here in this book of Ephesians, now I want to take you there this morning for a little while. I want you to listen closely, and I want you to understand that this man of God is not talking to sinners. I said he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to saints. The mark of that depraved nature that is still there when you're saved. There are two people there. There's an old man. There's a new man. Isn't that right? If any man be in Christ, there is a new creature. But there's still an old man there that has to be dealt with every day of your life. That carnal nature that hates God, hates Christ, hates righteousness, it's all there, every bit of it. Now, Paul is addressing saints that have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's dealing with those saints on a line that you don't hear many folks dealing with them today. But Paul knew that the only thing this thing works is there's a clear line between that spiritual man in heaven. Jesus said in John 16:7, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. He went away. He sat down at the right hand of God. He prayed the Father, and the Holy Ghost was poured out. Now Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his what? Belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the apostle John's comment on that was, this spake he of the Spirit. That river coming down from the throne of God was the Holy Ghost. That's what John said. Now the way that works is, that river is poured out from the throne to the church, and from the church to the people. It has to flow through us if it touches anybody. We're the vessel of the Lord. You ever read that? We're the body of Christ. That means we're the vehicle of expression. A body is simply a vehicle through which a personality is expressed. And if St. Louis feels a touch of the Holy Ghost, that river not only must flow in me, it must flow through me. And the problem with the church is we have the arteries clogged up with spiritual cholesterol so that it can't get out and touch and heal. You know, folks, today we have that cholesterol clogs up the arteries. That means nothing through. And when there's not enough blood getting through, then you live every stroke. I mean, you're on the verge of dying. If they don't ream those out, clean those out, or give a bypass, then you may have a stroke. Isn't that right? Spiritually, we have this life of this flesh is the blood, but the life of that spiritual body is the Holy Ghost. Paul said it's the Spirit of life. And when you have what Paul's talking about here in the book of Ephesians, clogging up those arteries so that it's a dead end street, it comes in, out. I said it comes in, but it does out. Then they perish all, wanting light, wanting life, but yet the only source of it, it must flow through you. God give it to us to go through us. And if it ain't go through because clogged up with our own self-spirit or selfishness, then the world perishes for the want of the gospel of Christ. Listen to this. Here, in this fourth chapter, of the book of Ephesians, here in the 22nd verse, Paul is talking to these saints. That's who I'm talking to this morning. The church. There may be a sinner or two among us. He can find Christ. But I'm talking to you and I, through whom this thing must flow. And I'm telling you, it is that selfish spirit that keeps it from flowing. And when it don't flow, a world perishes. And we're going to be responsible to God Almighty, because we had this thing all closed in. Verse 22. That you, me, you, Sam Orrick, you, Brother Sensabaugh, me, B.H. Glennon, every one of us under this tabernacle, put off concerning the former condition, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. What a thing to say to a church. I mean, he's not talking to that drunk wallering in the gutter down there. He's not talking to that heroin addict. He's not talking to that prostitute. He is talking to people that have been born of God and filled with God. And he's saying, put off that old self. Put off that selfishness. Put off that desire for things that are not God. You have to put them off, or the world is going to die without the gospel. I'm talking about the kind of people the church is supposed to produce. Disciples. He said, put him off. Now listen. and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now that thing, putting off the old man, I want to point something to you here today. Oh, I pray God, if you don't hear anything else I say, I don't remember it, I want you to remember this. Put off the old man. Now, we always make that merely personal. You know, we talk about the old man is that thing in us that rises up under provocation, tantalize you, do you wrong. Somebody cuts in front of you, you know, and somebody jumps in front of you in line. Something rises up and fist balls up. You gotta do something with it, or you're gonna do bad. Isn't that right? That we always deal with. It is that. But I want to tell you, it's much more. Because just as that new man is a universal body, that old man is a universal body. You hear me this morning? Put off that old man. And when you realize that is a universal body of which the first Adam is a head, the federal head, Christ is a federal head of a new race. Is that right? He's the firstborn of a whole new race. Well, Adam is a head of a whole race of people. When he said, put off that old man with his conversation, you don't have any trouble figuring that out. What you put off, if you recognize that's a universal thing. Now, I have been in about 60 countries on this planet. And everywhere I've went, he may be a different color. He may talk different language. He may live in a different climate. But I can tell you, if he isn't born again, he commits adultery, he'll murder, he'll steal, he's a fornicator, he deals with drugs. It's the same thing. I don't care wherever you find him. He's exactly the same. That old man is the same. God says, put it off. Put it off. That has no part of you and I. No, no. That woman taken in adultery. Them deacons brought her down, said to Jesus, stone her to death. Amen. Strange thing, didn't bring the man, just the woman. Isn't that a strange deal? Amen. Stone her to death. He said, well, you boys that don't have any sin, you throw the first rock at her. That bunch of fornicators never threw a rock at nobody. They left. And when they left, Jesus said, where are your accusers? Don't have any. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know what he said? She's now calling him Lord. She's come to him. She's changed camps. She belongs to Jesus. She recognizes him Lord. And so he says, I don't condemn you. You know the reason he didn't condemn her? She is a sinner. He said, I know sinners do that. They're condemned already. Sinners commit adultery. But he said, now you're mine. Don't do that anymore, because saints don't do that. Put off the old man. But listen to the next verse. Put on the new. Woo-wee. Put on the new man, which has been renewed, recreated in righteousness, true holiness. Put on the new. That's universal too. I said, that's universal. He's in me, but he's everywhere. Wherever you find born again believers, it's the same thing. Nothing so wonderful as the family of God. Wherever you find them, I don't care what language they talk. I don't care what color their skin. I don't care where they live. Ladies and gentlemen, you find a new creature. Thank God there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, black, white, male, female. All are one in that Christ. First time I got to Tanzania, East Africa, got there 2 o'clock in the morning. I've never been there before. I don't know people. Coming through customs, the man talking English, talking brokenly, a lot of racket. I can't hardly hear him. He's giving me instructions. I can't hear him hardly. Can't hardly understand him. Thought I never would get through. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Haven't had any rest. I'm tired, nervous. Wonder if I'm ever going to get through. Even finally got through, though. Got my suitcase. And as I walked out through the doors, there's a man, a great big black preacher, big as this man right here, standing over there, and he got a sign that said, Clendenin. I have got home. Thank God. I said, that's me. He grabbed me up, popped every rib. Thank God I'd found my brother. I'd found my family. I don't care if I don't know anybody else. I know him because we both have the same Christ, the same Jesus. Oh, it's a universal thing. Put on the new man. Put off the old. Put off that selfish, devilish thing. Put on the new man. Thank God that's been renewed in God, in righteousness and the true holiness. Oh, I saw that awful thing of separating themselves without the Spirit. I saw religious folks, amen, they separate themselves. They got a little mold. They want to pour everybody in that same mold. You ever saw them kind of folks? And if you don't look just like they do, they'll send you to hell in a minute. Amen. They're the meanest folks in town. Yes, sir. When self crucifies self, it produces another form of self that's meaner than what you started with. But oh, when you grow spiritually and that man or woman of the Spirit overcomes that old man, then it's Christ they see. Hallelujah to God. It's love they see. It's joy they see. It's peace they see. It's not selfishness. That's a disciple I'm talking about. I said, that's a disciple. Put on the new man. Put on the new man. And listen, it gets better and worse as you go on. Listen to what he said. Put on the new man. Verse 24. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now the little word wherefore just means because. If you and I had been writing this and understood Greek, we'd have wrote it because. Now, or because of. Wherefore, put off the old man, put on the new, and because of this, put away all lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors, because we're members one of another. Listen, he's talking to saints. I said, he's talking to saints. He said, now children, you belong to the same body. Quit lying to one another. I mean, I can understand him telling that man down the street that, or one of them politicians. But he's saying that to you and me. You know what he's saying? Huh? You know, we may not up and just tell a lie, but oh, we try to put on a lot of airs, don't we? You know, we can come to church, we can act as holy as hope. On a job, be as mean as the devil. Amen. I mean, we lie one to another. We want folks to think more highly of us than maybe we really are. But he says, put away lying. Quit lying. Be open. If you need help, he said, confess your faults one to another. Amen. If you're weak in a place, get the brethren to pray for you. Don't try to make believe that it's not there. If there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with me. Amen. If I've got something in my life I need to overcome, there's something in my life I need to overcome. And for me to act like it's not there is lying to you. And you can't help me if I lie to you. Oh, goodness. You know, they used to be a preaching along this Pentecostal world that dealt with restitution. You know that? We used to preach restitution. Don't say much about that no more, do we? We used to look a man in the eye, that pulpit, and say, look, if you've done your brother's wrong, you have to go to your brother. You ain't never going to be right with God. If you took something that didn't belong to you, you're going to have to take it back and give it to him. Oh, I couldn't do that. That'd be embarrassing is right. You embarrass self enough and he won't do that no more. Yes, sir. He just have to go. God said it. I didn't say it. But here's what he said. Quit lying. Quit going around acting like everything's all right when there's something wrong in your life. Amen. You stole. You didn't pay your tithe. You spent it on a Sunday afternoon outing. You took the family out to dinner instead of paying your tithe. You stole something from God and you're going to have to get it right. God ain't going to talk to you. Ain't no use in going there going through the paces of religion. I've saw folks come to church and the Holy Ghost get on them and we had danced and run. That's wonderful. Thou saw other folks dance and run so the other folks wouldn't know they're such a hypocrite. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I saw a big show put on. I could see plumb through them. That's right. See straight through them. Knew there wasn't a thing in the world to that, brother. I mean, that's as phony as a $3 bill. They're hopping around so everybody else think they're all right. Amen. Lying, lying. He said, put away lying. If you got something wrong, if you got sin in your life, then confess that sin. Get it out. Get right. God loves you. Jesus died for you. There's provision made for victory. You're never going to get anywhere as long as you keep that thing hid. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth his sins, thank God, shall have mercy. Oh, glory to God. Put away lying. I says, he talking to saints? Yeah, talking to saints. Talking to saints. It's unsanctified flesh popping up in that church. That's what he's talking to. Put away lying. Put it away. Get out of it. Listen here. Listen well. What else? He's not through yet. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. You know what that's saying? I'll tell you literally what he's saying is, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You angry. There are going to be some things make you angry. Mom and kids going to act wrong, and you're going to get upset with them. I mean, that wife going to do wrong, you may get upset with her. That husband may do wrong, you get upset with that husband. Things may go wrong on that job for a minute, that spirit of anger. But he says, be angry and sin not. Don't go around hitting somebody, cussing somebody. Amen. Your anger comes up. But then he says, don't let the sun go down on it. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, don't hold a grudge. That'll destroy you. That's like cancer. You got hate in you, it just gnaws up your insides. Don't hold a grudge. It don't make any difference what they did. They're the ones in trouble, not you. You do right, thank God. The man out there that done you wrong, he's the one in trouble. I'm not in trouble. Thank God, hold no grudge. They draw their circle so little you out. Draw yours big enough and put them back in. Pray for them. Thank God. That's what God says. Don't hold no hate. Don't hold no grudge. Thank God, Jesus loved me. Love everybody. That's what he said. Be angry and sin not. That little old child does something wrong. Remember, he's a child. Don't go boxing him. Thinking. Hit him on the right end. Amen. Use the right kind of a switch. Don't beat him. Awful thing, the way some people treat little children because they're angry. Oh, no. Don't go boxing. Don't take a man pound. Knock a 120-pound woman around. Amen. Just takes a sorry kind of humanity. Amen. He said, be angry and sin not. And don't hold no grudge. I mean, let that thing get away and say, I'm sorry. Amen. You're wrong. I know you're wrong, but I'm sorry I got angry. I ain't going to hold no grudges. Thank God I'm going to keep my heart right, clean with God. Oh, hallelujah. When I come across that platform, man of God lays his hands on me. I don't want some devilish grudge in my heart to keep me from receiving from God. I don't want something in my heart to keep my family from being saved. Amen. I take them to church. They hear the word of God. Go into an altar. Try to get right. Can't get right because there's all kind of envy, strife, this kind of thing in the church. He said, be angry and sin not. Listen to this. Let him that stole steal no more. You got it right there. Saints are stealing. Saints. He's talking to brethren here. Where do we steal at? How do we steal? He said, you've robbed me. Tithing offerings. You robbed me. That's what he said. I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what he said. He said, you have robbed me. That's mine. He said, the tithe is mine. It's holy. And he said, don't touch what's holy. But he said, you've been a stealing. Don't steal anymore. I mean, get it right. Repent. Start getting right. I'm talking to you folks about coming across this platform tonight in that proxy service. Folks that are lost, you want to get them healed. You want to get them saved. You want to get them to God, your loved ones, your neighbors. You're going to stand for in that service tonight. Well, make sure your heart is right. That you're not stealing from God. That you haven't got a grudge against somebody. But you're not lying to the church, but trying to be what you're really not. That you're totally honest. And listen to this. No corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Just say things that edify. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Just say things that edify. This is the mark. These things, when they're not in you, They demonstrate the unselfishness. See, this all, Paul is saying, come out of that old man, which is self. Jesus said, if you'll be my disciple, you got to deny that. Amen. A real disciple is an unselfish person. Amen. They don't hold no grudges. You did me wrong, but I'm not going to do you wrong. They plucked Jesus' beard. He didn't pluck theirs. They spit on him. He didn't spit on them. Amy Semple McPherson was one of the really great, great women preachers this world ever knew anything about. I was in Cumberland, Maryland. She was there for 6 weeks, many, many years before I got there. She was there in the 1920s, maybe 21, 22. Stayed in Cumberland, Maryland for 6 weeks. It took four train boxcars to haul the wheelchairs back to Los Angeles. How the people had jumped out of them, run off shouting, praising God. Blind folks saw by the scores, multitudes were born again. That woman lived. I had a friend of mine that used to work in Los Angeles in the heyday of that great temple. He delivered milk. He said he used to go by there at 4 o'clock in the morning working on my way to work and see her up in the tower with her hands up waiting on God. I'd come back that afternoon at 4 o'clock. She's still up there with her hands up waiting on God to deliver his people. No wonder God used her. But I read one time when all of the trouble came against her in Los Angeles, everything, I don't know wrong, but a lie is told on the woman for sure. And one of the major attorneys of Los Angeles came to her and said, son, I know that they're lying. Most of it's lies. And if you'll let me, we'll sue them. And I can make a while financially. They're doing to you. She stepped back in horror. She said, I could never do that. What do you mean, ma'am, you could never do that? We got an open and shut case here. She said, I could never do that. Why? She said, I read when I was a little girl that a dog barked at a queen, but that queen didn't bark back. I'm talking about saints. Oh, listen, that world may get that world, but the queen don't despitefully use them. I pray for those that despitefully use me if I keep self out of the way. That's the kind of disciple he's making. And when he talks about being conformed to the image of Christ, that's actually what he's talking. It's spiritual and it's moral to be conformed to the image of Christ. He isn't walking on the water. He didn't raise in the dead. He reviled, I revile not again. You was wrong, I pray for the folks that wrongly use me. When I'm spit on, I don't spit at them. When the dog barks at me, I don't bark at the dog. You want to be healed, I'm telling you where it's at. It isn't just talking about faith. Faith you have if you're born again. You just live where that channel's open. None of this stuff in you. And that faith will flow out and produce for you everything God said it would produce. Listen, let no corrupt communication. And listen to this, though. He said in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Now, we hear that preached all time. You know, don't let him come in here and take what's yours. Don't. That's all well and good, but brother, he's saying also, don't no play by being angry when you shouldn't, stealing when you ought not to. Amen. Treat a fellow man wrong. Don't give any place to the devil. And the next verse I'm going to read said, neither grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you, I'm a lying one to another. That's how you grieve the Holy Spirit. By letting that old selfish nature pop out. Every time somebody does you a little wrong, your weapons become carnal. They talk about me, I talk about them. You slap me, I slap you. That's the attitude. But Paul said in the end of this verse, and he's talking to us, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Thank God. Amen. I use love in the place of hate. That's what he's saying. Paul said, don't get up and hit him back, but pray for him. You know, most of us, I was raised, you know, that don't start in trouble with any trouble. Do what you ever had to do to end it. Papa didn't know anything about God. That was his teaching. Amen. And I found it takes a whole lot more courage to turn your cheek than it does to hit him back. Oh, it takes a real man or woman to walk off and demonstrate Christ. Hallelujah. And when we don't, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Whereby we're sealed. Oh, that's an awful thing. When you think about it, how the Holy Spirit is grieved, even in a meeting like this, by the attitudes that's out there. By the attitudes that's out there. The selfishness. Listen, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed. Then verse 31 says, how you do it. Let all bitterness, goodness alive. You know, bitterness to the human spirit is what strychnine is to the physical life. It'll destroy, it'll shrivel you up. You spend your whole life in pursuit of something that isn't worthwhile. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that's arguing. Bible said a man and his wife don't get along, the prayers are hindered. Always arguing. Why, it's better just to agree with him. Forget it. Agree with the adversary, he said. If he says white's black, let it be black. What do I care? Why should I disturb the Holy Ghost? If he says up is down, let him believe that. If he's going to fight over it, why argue about it? Why get in? Be like Christ. You're not going to convince him. Clamor. And he said, put all of that argumentative spirit behind you. Just lift up your hands and praise God, he said, instead of fussing. Thank God. Just worship God. Amen. Walk with the Holy Ghost. Put all wrath, all anger, all clamoring. Get all that out behind you, he said. Thank God. Listen to it. That isn't all. He said, evil speaking away from you with malice. And listen. This is so beautiful. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, as God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh, let me tell you, if they found that kind of community, that world would be the path to our door. They look for love. They look for somebody that cares. They look at a church, all the clamoring and hatred and fighting and fuming, just as much as what do they want to get in thus far. But when self is dead, Christ is alive. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men. If they look at that church and see the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, folks, they'll go for that. I said, I'm telling you, they'll go for that. They're hungry for Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. Put away all of these things. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, has given himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. But listen, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, which is idolatry. Don't let it be named among ye, said. Don't let it. Listen, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. In chapter 6, listen, as we come down to the end of the wire, all of this Paul has dealt with our church saints. Then he said, finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to point up something to you that's been overlooked. In this age, when deliverance certainly is a theme of the Bible, but a lot of it is dealt mainly with physical. That's all a part of it. But you're never going to see a physical deliverance until there's a spiritual deliverance. Put on the whole armor of God, he said, that you may be able to stand against the bitterness of hell. That you may be able to stand against that lying spirit that tries to come. that you may be able, when they despitefully use you, pray for them. You can't do that in yourself. Put on the whole armor of God. In other words, he said, you be a spiritual person and you can overcome all this. You can't overcome wrath with wrath. Amen. He that lives by the sword is going to die by that sword. But all we that live by the armor of God are going to live forever. Our problem is, see, we wanted all these things to deliver other people, but God wants to deliver us. Today you have all of this clamor politically, you know, politicizing, pulpit preachers out there marching against abortion. They got all kinds of rallies against nuclear. They want a nuclear freeze and prayer back in the school. And I'm against abortion. I wish you'd never split that atom. No, dear Lord, I wish we prayed in those schools. But I've said that. I want to say something else to you. Church, trying to get unsaved teachers to pray when they don't even pray in the church. Ain't no use in going to Washington lobbying up there, spending millions of dollars trying to get a world to pray when you don't even have prayer in your own family. Why are you trying to get an unsaved teacher to pray with your kids and you don't even have a family altar in your own home? Get the church right. Get the bitterness out of us. Get the lying out of us. Get the stealing out of us. Get all of the anger out of us. And I promise you that church will heal our society. I said that church will heal our society. It is the presence of God in the church that does the healing. I read in the book of Psalms that Red Sea didn't flee from Moses' rod, but it fled from the presence of God in Judah. When the presence of God approached that ocean, it jumped up and run off. I'll tell you what, if we get the church in revival, get the church healed, get the church praying, then the light of the church will cause the bugs to leave our streets. I'm telling you where it's at. We spend millions of dollars, amen, lobbying against, this thing and that thing. The answer isn't found there. No, it isn't there. I said to the folks, oh God, I wish we could get the church to pray, get the church back to praying. We'd get prayer back in our schools. Amen. We get our family altars rebuilt where we knelt there with our little children, read the word of God to them and prayed with them. Wouldn't be long till that Bible would be back in the school. It never left the school till it left the church. And when they lost the word of God in the Old Testament, they didn't find it in the schoolhouse. You know where they found it? In the house of God. That's where it was lost. I'm talking about the unselfish disciple. I'm talking about that one says, I have been bought with a price. I don't live like I want to live. I live like he wants me to live. We sing a chorus at home that says, I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's no more to give. I'm going to love till there's no more love, because I could never outlove my Lord. Amen. The unselfish disciple. Do we want God to work miracles in our churches? Do we want the Holy Spirit to work? Brother Shambach can't heal. I can't heal. You can't heal. The Holy Ghost will do the healing. Jesus will do the healing. We can't heal. And the reason it isn't happening to the degree that we want it to in our churches is we've grieved the Holy Spirit with our bitterness. We've let the sun go down on our anger. We're holding grudges one toward another. Oh, that's a tragedy. That's the way the world acts. That's their weapon. If you don't like me, I won't like you. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't take that attitude? Amen. I didn't like him before I got saved. But oh, thank God he loved me. The Bible said when I was unlovely. And the Bible said we are to love the world like he loved the world. We don't love what they do, but we love people. If we're going to save people, we can't hold grudges. We can't have bitterness. We can't keep on stealing. We can't be mean and ugly and not have the Holy Ghost grieved away and the work of God destroyed. My brother, my sister, some of you are going to pick up a prayer card this morning to come across that platform to be prayed for. Some of you are going to stand down here tonight for loved ones, husbands, wives, children, neighbors, friends, to be saved. Make sure that the well's clean, that there ain't nothing in there that would grieve that blessed spirit. There ain't no bitterness. Don't have nothing against my brother. If you do have and he's not around, write him a letter. God will take that. When you write the letter, God will clean it up. If you've done somebody wrong, tell them. If you owe somebody something and you won't pay it and haven't paid it, you may not be able to pay it, but you tell them, I'm going to. God helping me. I've been wrong. God will wipe it clean. And when you stand here tonight with hands lifted to heaven and we're praying for that loved one, God will flow through you. That river will go where they are. Touch them and we'll see victories in the name of the Lord. The unselfish disciple. Tomorrow, the faithful disciple. Stand with me. Let's worship God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Just call out to God, will you? Amen. Let's love God. Have you heard the word of God this morning? Then let's worship him for it. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on. Come on, us praise God. Us praise God. Us praise God. Us praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.